Wanted. Wanted for jailbreak. Presented in the public interest, the program that brings you for the first time on the air, a nationwide manhunt in action. The actual facts to date on a man wanted. From the record, hear the on-the-spot reports of the people involved. Real names are used. Nothing is withheld. No one is protected. Here are the dramatic eyewitness accounts of a man wanted. Wanted for jailbreak. And now, Wanted's on-the-spot investigator, Walter McGraw.
Good evening. Tonight and every week at this time, I take you around the country on a nationwide manhunt for a criminal who at this very moment is at large. From the actual eyewitnesses involved, I give you the information you need to recognize these fugitives so that you, no matter who you are, no matter where you are, you can recognize these criminals, call your local police station, and help the law enforcement agencies of this nation wipe out crime. And you can do it. If you've read your newspapers, you know that as a result of last week's wanted broadcast, an alert citizen was a valuable help to the police department of Cleveland, Ohio. For the full details on that, speaking to you from WTAM in Cleveland, listen to Chief of Homicide, Captain David Kerr.
Edward Sadowski, who was wanted for the murder of Philip Ferrandi in Cleveland, Ohio, was shot and killed Wednesday, July the 26th, in a gun battle with police officers. His apprehension was a direct result of the radio program Wanted, carried by WTAM in Cleveland. This is what took place. We received information from a listener to the program Wanted, who had also read the Cleveland Press, who published his photo on the radio page of their paper, that a subject who was identical with the photo and fitted the description in the program Wanted last Friday night was staying on the second floor at 3619 East 74th Street. They further told us that he had just recently moved there. This information was acted upon by Detective Sergeant Tofan and Detective Kosovar and Patrolman Lamaro of the Cleveland Police Department. They went to this location, and on the second floor, they found a small apartment. They searched the place there and found a young woman there who stated that she had just been married a short time ago and that her husband was not in. They searched the place scantily, and Detective Kosovar went into the bedroom, saw nothing there, but as we always do, he lifted up the mattress and looking through the springs, there was a man hid underneath the bed. He immediately commanded him to come out, and as the man got about halfway out from underneath the bed, he immediately drew a revolver, which he had hid under his stomach, and started firing at the detectives. They immediately returned the fire, striking Sadowski three times in the head and twice in the chest, and luckily, his shots did not take effect just going into the wall. So he'll just be another number one murderer that this city will not have to be worried with again. Our congratulations to the National Broadcasting Company and Wanted.
Captain Kerr, may I, on behalf of the National Broadcasting Company, congratulate you and your department on one of the finest jobs of police work to come to my attention in some time. The capture of Edward Sadowski is an example to the entire nation of the results that can be obtained when public-spirited citizens cooperate with an efficient police force. Now, Wanted continues on its crusade to bring to justice the fugitives who are now at large. Here is the factual account of the activities of a group of vicious young marauders who terrorized Philadelphia for 11 long months. Tonight, one of this group is wanted. He has been wanted for 3 years. He's an irresponsible, kill-crazy gangster known in gangdom as the Angel. The Angel heads the list of Philadelphia's most wanted men, so listen.
The date, early in January 1940. The locale, Philadelphia's South Side, the slum section.
The voices you hear next are those of the actual people who, through no fault of their own, are involved in the case of the Angel. First, a report from Philadelphia's 1st Detective Division.
I'm Detective Anthony Franchetti of the 1st Detective Division, Philadelphia Police Department. In November 1939, we received complaints from victims who had been robbed by a mob of hoodlums. These complaints run from burglary, hold-up, strong-arming, from petty larceny of $35 up to $3,500. Report after report came in.
I was robbed by the gang. My name is Thomas F. Leary. I operate a wholesale beer distributing business under the name of Leary's at the northeast corner of Front and Dudley Street, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. One Saturday night between 9 and 9:30, three men came rushing into the place, swinging a revolver at me, and said, "This is a stick-up. Who's got the money?" I said, "I have." "Well," he said, "give it to us." And another man then searched me and took the money. In the meantime, back in a little corner there was two brothers being covered by a short guy with a gun. One brother said, "You better take the gun off of that man, because he may die. He takes fits." And the guy said, "If you keep your lousy mouth shut, I'll do that. But if you don't, I'll blow your guts out." Then they made us all face the wall. I really was nervous myself. I was saying my Hail Marys. Then, after they left, we all hollered and went outside, and then the police come, the sirens blew, and that's all I can remember.
I was robbed by the gang. I'm Anna A. Simon, cashier for Oakland Farms at 2703 West Gordon Street, Philadelphia. I was sitting in my office counting the day's receipts when suddenly the door flung open, and in came a dark-complected man wearing a mask and dark glasses and flourishing a blue steel gun. He told me it was a holdup. He appeared very nervous as the gun was shaking while he covered me, and at the same time he was scooping up the cash from the drawer. They approximately got $700 in cash, and off they went.
I was robbed by the gang. My name is Bill George. I operate a restaurant and a cafe, 22nd and Spring Garden, for the last 17 years. It was about 3:30 in the morning, and I saw a man walking in with a gun in his hands and hollering and looking towards us and says, "This is a hold-up, this is a hold-up." He was jumping up and down like he was dancing, more or less. We took his order and we walked in the back room. And then I discovered there was two more men in the kitchen had called for the two cooks that I had there. I guess we were scared, all of us.
This is Detective Franchetti again. You have heard three witnesses of the 20 witnesses that had been robbed by this gang. 20 stories, which were all pretty near alike. We knew that there was two leaders of this mob. One was a tall, slender fella who always used a .32 caliber nickel-plated revolver. The little fella, who was dark-complected and Italian, he used the detective's special .38 stub-nosed gun. This one man here, in nearly all the holdups, he would go in and always tell the victims, "Stick him up, this is a holdup, and if you move, I'll blow your guts out." We knew that these fellas would start out and go to a garage. And there they would steal a car, pick up several other members of the gang, and they would go out into the street, go into a store. The two would walk in, that is the tall fella and the Italian fella, with their pistols. They'd hold up the victim and use the same method there of holding up the people. We knew everything about this mob by the way they operated.
Yes, Philadelphia police knew everything. They knew everything except one important detail.
Who are they?
Police played out lines to the underworld, dragging tipsters for information, and information came in. Half a dozen gun punks in town were named and tailed. Result? Tired detectives with tired feet, but no information. Then a totally unrelated incident occurred. A cold-blooded murder. Locale? An Italian friendship club, the San Francisco Beneficial Club, located in Philadelphia's tough South Side.
I am Detective John McCrory, 1st Detective Division, 33rd Police District. I received a phone call that there had been an argument and a shooting at the San Francisco Club at 8th and Latona Street. When I arrived there, I found not one, but two men badly wounded. I later identified these men as Dominic DiCaro and James DiCaro. Then had these men removed to St. Agnes Hospital.
I am Dr. Ralph A. Rossi, resident physician of the St. Agnes Hospital. James DeCaro and Dominic DeCaro were brought to the receiving ward of this hospital in serious condition because of multiple bullet wounds. James, the father, never regained consciousness and died within 24 hours, but Dominic rallied sufficiently to be able to speak to the police.
This is Detective Marty Kern of the Philadelphia Homicide Squad. We went to the St. Agnes Hospital and there interviewed Dominic DeCaro, and he stated that he had been to the San Francisco Club on a Saturday night, March the 9th, and had been beaten up by a gang of three men who entered the club. And one of the men he recognized. So on the following day, Sunday, Dominic and his father, James, decided to go to the San Francisco Club. And while in there drinking, Dominic recognized one of the men that had beaten him up. And with that, this man pulled out a revolver and started shooting, and one of the bullets struck James DeCaro, the father of Dominic, in the abdomen. Dominic then, seeing what happened, he went to his father's assistance, and in doing so, he was also struck by a bullet.
At first, Dominic DeCaro refused to finger the two men who did the shooting. He said he wouldn't give the cops the time of day. Finally, under questioning, the wounded Dominic told the story of two men who came into the Friendship Club. He could only identify one of them. That one was named William O'Neill. First stop for any Philadelphia pickup squad are the hangouts, the bars, the dives, the cafes. Pinto's Cafe, a long, narrow room, a bar on one side, tables and booths on the other, dark even at noon, crowded with nervous men.
My name is Daniel O'Mahony, detective attached to the homicide squad of the Philadelphia Detective Bureau. We received information from patrolmen that three men had been seen entering a cafe at the southwest corner of 10th and Watkins Street. And I accompanied Captain Smart, Sergeant Zimmy, and Detective Savage to that location. When the three men saw us, they recognized us and ran. They were subsequently captured, and one of these men was William O'Neill. He made and signed a typewritten statement that he was in on the shooting of James DeCaro and also DeCaro's son, Dominic. His story was that he had a fight with Dominic. Dominic told his father, and the father was going to get O'Neill. That is why O'Neill and a friend went to the San Francisco Mutual Club to meet the DeCaros. As the result, DeCaro was shot dead. O'Neill's companion at that time was Fred Tenuto.
Fred Tenuto.
Fred Tenuto was a name familiar to the police. He had a record of petty crimes dating back to 1930. Police went to their files and found a picture of him. They took this picture to the witnesses of the DeCaro murder and...
He's the one shot DeCaro.
Yeah, that's the killer, all right.
Yeah, he's a punk who murdered the old man.
Now, a second arrest-on-site order was issued. Once again, police went out, this time to get Tenuto. Fred Tenuto, alias Frank Pinto, alias Durso Thornberry, alias...
The Angel.
My name is Frank T. Zimmy. I'm police sergeant attached to the 33rd Police District. We had received a phone call from patrolman DeVito that he noticed Tenuti going into a tap room at the southwest corner of 10th and Watkins Street. Detective Greick and myself, along with the acting captain, immediately went out there. I, with Officer DeVito, tucked the front door. Detective Greick and the acting captain Smart tucked the back door. We recognized Tenuti sitting in the booth. I immediately reached for him, and he pulled out a .38 caliber Colt revolver, detective model. We grabbed him, and we tucked him all over to the detective bureau, and the gun, the revolver, rather, we send up to Lieutenant Spangler, the balistic expert of the police department.
This is Lieutenant George R. Spangler, charge of the ballistic laboratory, Philadelphia Police.
received a revolver which had been confiscated from Fred Tenuto, which is a blue steel Colt caliber 38 S&W special. Visible serial numbers mutilated. Secret serial number 397206. Model Detective Special. We later determined this particular revolver in question was used in numerous hold-up and robberies. I turned this report over to the Homicide Division of our Bureau.
This is Detective Dennis McColgan of the Homicide Squad at Philadelphia Police Department. After we received our report from Lieutenant Spangler, we were convinced that Tenuto was the killer of DiCaro. In examining the gun, we noticed four notches on there. One of these, no doubt, was for DiCaro. The other three was for other gangsters that we couldn't account for. We questioned Tenuto about his activities, and of course he wouldn't talk. He wouldn't tell us anything. But our information, this Tenuto was a gang killer and killed for pay. The department was interested in other things besides just a second-degree murder rap that we had on him. We understand from our information that he was a key man in a holdup mob that was terrorizing Philadelphia for the past 11 months.
Now police compared Tenuto to the so-called tough guy of Philadelphia's hoodlum gang.
Young, 23 to 25.
Italian-looking, nervous, always dancing up and down.
He carries a 38 caliber blue steel snub-nosed Colt revolver, Detective Special.
He enjoys telling his victims he's going to let them have it in the guts.
Both DiCaros had been shot in the abdominal region.
Fred Tenuto fit the description of the much-looked-for tough guy right down the line. Now police had some questions for him. They wanted the names of the other men in the gang.
Charles E. Brown, acting lieutenant of detectives commanding 1st Detective Division. As a result of investigation by detectives of these series of holdups and shootings, when Tenuto was brought to the 1st Detective Division headquarters and in this very room, he was the first to cringe and implicate 9 others. He, Tenuto, who was always the tough guy and in holdups, always exclaimed, "I will blow your guts out," cringed, and gave all the information which eventually sent himself and 9 others to our local penitentiary for terms from 136 to 261 years.
On June 17, 1940, Frederick Tenuto and William O'Neill were adjudged guilty of second-degree murder and sentenced from 10 to 20 years in Eastern State Penitentiary. The court said,
"That was a pretty cold-blooded shooting. You just missed first degree by a hair, Tenuto."
The court had a further conviction for the Angel for robbery by holdup. A second conviction brought a second sentence from 10 to 20 years in Eastern Pen. Both sentences were to run concurrently.
Once again, Walter McGraw.
Thus ended phase one of the Angel's career. Now, the second phase. Although Tenuto was obviously a tough cookie, prison officials felt because of his youth that another attempt at rehabilitation should be made. So, instead of sending him to the state penitentiary, Tenuto was taken to the farm, the Greatestford division of the Eastern State Pen.
Tenuto at Greatestford. Tenuto on the farm and in the shops. He worked hard. He worked hard figuring out a plan to get away, and only 2 years after his incarceration, he broke out.
Escape number one.
But the break wasn't worth it. He was at liberty only one day. Then he was re-caught and re-sentenced with an additional 10-year penalty sentence for jailbreak. This time, Tenuto was transferred as an incorrigible. This time, he was returned to the state penitentiary in Philadelphia, the Big House.
Then came escape number two.
Fred Tenuto had befriended one of this country's smartest criminals, Willie the Actor Sutton. Under Sutton's expert leadership, Tenuto helped dig a 99-foot tunnel under the prison walls. Through stone and concrete, 11 of Pennsylvania's most desperate men had crawled to freedom. 11 men broke out, but within 48 hours, 9 out of that original 11 were caught. Only 2 remained free, James Van Sant and Frederick the Angel Tenuto. Tenuto's so-called friends, probably mindful of his willingness to talk to the Philadelphia police, were anxious to remove him from circulation. So anxious, in fact, that immediate information sifted back to the police.
Van Sant and the Angel lit out of Philly right after the break. I have it. They're hiding out near West 130th Street in little old New York. They're with an ex-con named Quinn.
Philadelphia didn't want to flush their quarry by sending out detectives who might be known to the boys. Instead, they picked two young men who were still trainees, unknown to the underworld. They were sent to New York's Upper West Side.
My name is Richard Doyle, Jr. I was one of the two men who were sent to New York to try to locate Fred Sanuto, Van Zandt, and Michael Quinn. We got dressed in old clothes as laborers and hung around the neighborhood for 3 or 4 days. One warm night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, we decided to go back to Philadelphia, but to take one more look around at the hangouts on Amsterdam Avenue. Coming to 133rd Street, there was a tap room on a corner, and looking in the window, we saw a young Italian boy standing at the end of the bar. We went in and stood at the end of the bar so that we could get a good look at him, and we noticed a particular fold in his ear that identified him as being Fred Sanuto. At that time, there was a cigarette shortage in the country, and we asked the bartender if he had any cigarettes to sell. He said that he hadn't, but Sanuto had a carton of cigarettes and volunteered a couple of packs to us. We then talked to him about the cigarettes, and we established definitely that he was Fred Sanuto. We left the tap room and waited across the street to determine what our plan of action would be. We noticed that he was buying some beer to take out of the place in cartons, and when he left the place, my partner Chris Henningsen followed him.
A careful tail job. These two young detectives watched the Angel mount the stairs of a brownstone house and disappear inside. Then Van Sant, Tenuto, and Quinn came out and walked down the street in single file to a restaurant.
Young Doyle and Henningsen alerted the New York and Philadelphia police departments for a pickup.
Squad cars without sirens. They formed a dragnet around the restaurant block. An experienced Philadelphia detective named Litvin joined young Doyle and Henningsen, and all three went in for the pickup.
Them three hoods was busy eating turkey when the dicks come in. The pickup was a snap.
Once more, Fred the Angel Tenuto was returned to Philadelphia. Once more, the Angel was transferred. He and four of the other convicts who had planned the break at Eastern Penn were taken to another prison, to Holmesburg, escape-proof Holmesburg, the toughest penitentiary in Pennsylvania. Once again, Tenuto was penalized and given an additional 10 years for jailbreak.
Total sentence now, 40 years.
Now, Tenuto started a third phase in his career. And for 2 full years, Tenuto behaved. Then, on February 10th, 1947, Tenuto and four of the men who had engineered the Eastern State break went to work again.
It started at 2 a.m. Tenuto and a pal, Walden, had sought open their cells. They were hiding in the corridor, waiting for a guard named William Skelton to make his routine inspection of cell block D. When the guard enters the hallway, Tenuto jumps him. He has a .38 revolver, see? And they use Skelton as a shield and get the jail keys from another guard. Then it was an easy matter. With the keys, they opened up the other cells and get three other convicts loose. Now the gang, still using Skelton as a shield, headed down the stairs, through the engineering room, to the prison wall. They grabbed two ladders on their way. The break was easy.
Now, this is Robert J. Beveridge, the warden of Philadelphia County Prison in Holmesburg, Philadelphia. The band that you hear playing is our band practicing background. In February 1947, at 2:30 in the morning, very cold morning, snowing, I was notified that some prisoners had escaped over the back wall of the prison. In less than an hour, they corralled these men in the yard of a restaurant on Front Street, conducted by a relation of Tenuta's. Their idea there was to get there and get in the house and change clothes and disperse different directions. But three of them were caught, and Tenuta and Sutton made a break for the fence and made it with the police shooting at him.
Jailbreak number three.
Now Fred the Angel Tenuta and the notorious Willie Sutton were loose, and they were wanted. It is not our function here to determine the guilt or innocence of a man, nor do we intend to. But according to the facts you've heard tonight, and or other pertinent material, Frederick the Angel Tenuto is wanted.
Here again is Walter McGraw. You can help find Fred Tenuto, but to do so, you must be informed of all the facts. What does he look like? How does he dress? What are his habits? These we will give you, so stand by. How can you recognize him? Listen, and listen carefully.
This is Major Teves, Deputy Warden of the Eastern State Penitentiary in Philadelphia, PA. This is an official description of Frederick Tenuto. Age 35, height 5'5", weight 135, build medium, complexion dark, hair black, eyes dark brown, imperfect tattoo of SJ on left forearm outer.
Now back to Walter McGraw in New York.
Only one more voice to add to the sum total you've heard tonight. The voice of the underworld.
Fred Tenuto. A very nervous guy, Tenuto. He's strictly a killer. And he likes to kill. You think he's brave? He's not brave. He's a rat. And he's plenty yellow, that boy. And this guy sings like a canary. He'd squeal on his best friend for a buck. And when he drinks, and he can drink plenty, that guy would squeal for a half a buck. The word around has it that if the cops don't get him pretty soon, there won't be any Tenuto left to get.
If you have no other way of seeing a picture of Fred Tenuto, go down to your local post office. A poster with his picture is on the wall. Study that face. Frederick Tenuto, alias the Angel, doesn't look like one. He's 35 years old, a short man, 5'6¼" tall, weight 136 pounds, dark brown hair, dark chestnut eyes, dark complexion, deep-set eyes, broad elongated nose, thick, heavy lips. He's a sloppy dresser given to loud colors.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are few men who actually enjoy killing people. There are few mentalities so twisted. But Fred the Angel Tenuto derives physical satisfaction out of this business of death. He has a twisted mind, a strange mentality. Not bright or alert, he has an animal cunning. It's not necessary for me to warn you that he's dangerous. Don't try to capture him yourself. But report all information immediately. Now, this is Walter McGraw saying once again, keep on the lookout. Our country has enough trouble right now without harboring gangsters. There's no time like now to wipe out crime.
Be with us again next week when you will hear the actual people involved give their eyewitness accounts of the dope fiend of the West, who is wanted. Wanted for jailbreak.
All material heard on tonight's program was factual, from the record. Real names were used. No one was protected. Tonight's report was written by P.L. Mayer. Music was written by Morris Mamorski and conducted by Elliot Jacoby. The narrator was Fred Collins. Wanted was supervised for NBC by James Kovac and was produced and directed by Walter McGraw. Jimmy Dorsey brings you the sports newsreel next on NBC.